on this very special guest of the entertainment, all of you are so very special this morning. And I thank you for coming up so early in the morning to hear me speak. And little do you know, there'll be a test after this. I'll be meeting each and every one of you at the door, and I will be asking you to tell me at least 5 things that I say. Is that a deal? Yes, I'm truly thankful to the sponsoring committee for giving me the opportunity to share my faith journey with you. And thank you, Anne, for the warm introduction. May God continue to bless you in all your endeavors. And dear Ebony, thank you for expressing through song the sentiments of my heart that the Lord will be our vision, whether we are asleep or awake, and regardless of the challenges we face, that He will still be our vision. And thanks, Karen, for accompanying her so beautifully today. There was no hesitation on my part when the invitation was extended to be the speaker this morning. It has given me the opportunity to affirm God's presence in my life and the high priority that I place on Christian values. And I have no doubt that you are here this morning because you too are affirming His presence in your lives. This invitation allowed me to seriously ask myself the question, what is my faith? Some of you here this morning will recall Dr. John Payton, the pioneer missionary to the South Seas. He translated the New Testament into the language of the island people. Dr. Payton sought for more than 2 years for a word that would properly represent faith. And he had just about given up in despair when one day, as he sat in his study, one of the native teachers, weary and footsore from a missionary tour, came in and dropped into a cane chair. Then he put his feet up on another cane chair, and he used an expression which means, I rest my whole weight here. Once Dr. Payton said that, he said, that is the word I want. So everywhere in the Bible of the island, the word faith is translated. I rest my whole weight on the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly faith, dear friends, is that implicit trust and confidence in God, which leads me to place myself unreservedly into His hands. My faith is trusting in God. So over the next few minutes, do allow me to share with you some of the highlights of my faith journey that have brought me to this point in my life today. And it may appear as if I am continuing to read my resume like Anne did, and achieving my achievements, and sharing my achievements. And yes, this may very well be so. But hopefully, by sharing my stories, some of you can draw strength and courage as you continue your faith journey. So, for the next few moments, allow me to take you back to the island in the sun. Some of you will remember Harry Belafonte. And I won't sing for you today. Maybe another time. It started as a young child who had the pleasure of being brought up by a grandmother. And ladies and gentlemen, it is not unusual for children from the Caribbean to be under the watchful eyes of the community, the church, the congregation, and the extended family. You see, in the 50s and 60s, there was a strong wave of immigrants to the United Kingdom. The doors were opened for folks from the Caribbean and other Commonwealth countries to make a better life for themselves and for their families in the motherland. So my parents were encouraged by their parents to be a part of that great adventure. So off they went to England. My younger brother, by 7 years, went with one grandmother, and I stayed with the maternal grandmother. They lived less than 1 hour by foot from each other, but in my case it took me longer due to the fact that I had to stop and speak to everybody I saw. Of course, my grandmother, she basically scripted what I would say as I made these songs. For you don't want all your information to be out there. So I watched my grandmother. She carried on the values of her parents, dedicating her life to helping others. And her legacy and that of a small community have proven to me to be both overwhelming and motivating, burdening and uplifting. I had no choice, ladies and gentlemen, but to excel in everything that I did. And in those days, in that little district, the focus was on school, church, the gardening, 4-H club, which focused on the heart, head, hands, and health. And I excelled in one of those. Because at age 10, I won the first prize for identifying grasses at a national fair. And trust me, as far as I know, there was no ganja in the mix. The confidence that my grandmother placed in my ability, and the fact that she never stopped reminding me that I'm blessed, and that I should never take anything for granted, but always give thanks to the Almighty. That is one of the main reasons why I am here today. So I left the safety of my grandmother's home at age 12 to attend a Christian boarding school on the western side of the island. And her advice to me was something like this: child, have faith in God, be confident, be reliable, finish what you start, work hard, and always be kind and loving to others, and the Lord will bless you. And those words would be repeated each time I went home for school breaks. My grandmother lived to see me graduate from high school and then join my parents and brother, who had left UK 1 year earlier. But before she left, she reminded me of Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. So here I left the comfort of Jamaica and my grandmother's home and school, and my rice and peas and jerk chicken. And off I went to England, where I started to gain culinary delights such as roast beef, Yorkshire pudding, fish and chips. I have no doubt that my grandmother saw that I was a strong-willed young woman. You see, my first area of studies, as you may have heard, was biochemistry and microbiology. And she feared I was going to start on questioning everything that was bio-based. I would write to her and share my experiences, my challenges, and my adjustments to the new country. But she would remind me through her letters of this hymn: trust in the Lord, who ruleth all, seeth all as they are. Be it a birdling in the nest, or yonder uttermost star, rest in the arms of his care. For whatever your lot, it mattereth not, for nothing, nothing can trouble you there. You see, in my grandmother's home, the Bible and the hymnal were the most prominent books. So any counsel, any exhortation would come from those books. So my parents and the church community in Brixton assured me once again that I could be and do anything I wanted to, that race and gender are shadows, and that character, self-discipline, determination, attitude and service are the substance of life. my desires and dreams was to become a research scientist in the field of biochemistry, which with a concentration on carbohydrate metabolism. And this area was interesting to me since not only did diabetes run in my family, but it was a challenge that faced many individuals in Brixton, where I lived. I knew from an early age, thanks to the guidance of the individuals in my life, pastors and family members, that unfruitful time wasters, and if misused, they create negative power. The Bible calls it vain in their imaginations, because they work against God's will. So when I was recommended by a professor at the Postgraduate Medical School of London, where I started my research training, to join a team in the biochemistry department at McGill University, I did not hesitate. Once again, a strong group of supporters helped me to protect my vision so that the flame would keep on burning. And some of the encouraging words I received were, feed your faith with prayer. Meditate on positive things and on the Word of God. And above all, avoid negative people. Share your vision with only folks who will support you. And this advice, ladies and gentlemen, has served me wisely over the years. And over the years, the bigger my dreams got, I realize that God has given me even more power to dream, so I must dare to do so. It was intended that I would be at McGill for 2 years, then return to UK. I was still very aware of God's presence in my life, and that whatever path my life would take, He would be my guide and guard. But a bus strike in the city of Montreal allowed my path to cross that of the young man who became my husband 3 years later. David had the good fortune of spending his early years in Wetaskiwin, Alberta, with grandparents who were a Lutheran pastor and musician. And he too, along with his twin sister, grew up knowing the Lord. And his brilliance and God's guidance led him to McGill University on a scholarship. When we met, he had already completed his first degree in chemistry and an active member in the local church in West Montreal. Looking back, I can say that David was truly a man of faith. For David had never met a black person in his life that he remembered having a conversation with. He knew that his twin sister had taken piano lessons from the sister of Oscar Peterson, but he had no other point of reference. And he also knew, and this was so important for me, he knew that Jamaica was not in Africa. But a Commonwealth country in the Caribbean, and the natives spoke English. I give thanks for David, because he taught me to learn more about the land of my birth and my responsibility to the less fortunate. That was 48 years ago. I dare say that most people in Canada, they do have a knowledge of the Caribbean, and very many have had some exposure to folks from those islands. Folks, faith is such a powerful source and force. The Bible describes men and women who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, and whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle. And we are told in Hebrews 11:33 that women received back their dead raised to life again, while others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. So, by faith, David and I were married in the presence of his parents and mine, along with our relatives and friends. And in those days, the wedding reception looked like the United Nations. But until this day, I can truly say that my life is blessed by all the various groups of people who continue to cross my path. So in 1979, and some of you here may remember who are from the Montreal or Quebec, there was a grand exodus of companies from Montreal to Toronto. And David's company was one of them. Neither of us had any strong connections to Toronto, but we were both strongly advised that if we had to move to Ontario, Mayor, the best place to live is Longueuil. Our church pastor also encouraged us to connect with the congregation in Oakville. In faith, we took their advice and made our way to Oakville. And the Lord made the way for us to purchase our first home in Oakville from a realtor who were Christians, the McLeans, Claire and June McLean. And those folks opened their hearts and homes to, home to us and made our transition so much easier. I recall this song we sang in church on a regular basis. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask besides? Can I doubt his tender mercies and through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort. Here, my faith in him to dwell. So the McLeans became our first family in Oakville. The life they lived was a constant reminder to us to continue to work in the service of others. So while David commuted to his office in Toronto, I had the opportunity to get involved in a project for immigrant women on Kerr Street, as a matter of fact. What a teaching tool that was. And that led to other involvements in Toronto. And it also renewed my interest in women's issues and human rights law. Little did I know that my involvement in the community was being observed by decision makers at the federal level. So I was truly grateful when I was asked to be a delegate to the World Conference on Women's Issues in Nairobi, Kenya. And not only did it give me the opportunity to meet and have discussions with women from all over the world, it made me stop and think how fortunate I was to be living in Canada. So when I returned home, I embraced my chosen country even more and pledged that in every way possible, I would strive to give my best to the community and country. Quite often I reflect on the verse in Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So my journey continued. Involvement in other groups and organizations continued, and other opportunities came when I was asked to join the executive body of the Canadian Multiculturalism Council. And through the council, I served as an advisor to the Secretary of State for Multiculturalism. And this was another way, another opportunity to let my little light shine. And my dear grandmother always reminded me to stay grounded. So my family and trusted friends ensured that, as they say in Jamaica, don't let all this recognition get to your head. And they also have another saying, the higher the monkey climbs, the more he's exposed. So since I didn't want exposure like a monkey, I relied on the Almighty. And I was assured in Psalm 32:8 that I would instruct and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you and watch over you. Ladies and gentlemen, the Almighty kept his promise to me. 27 years ago, I was appointed, as you may have heard, the first woman of color to serve as a judge of the Court of Canadian Citizenship. And once again, I was afforded the opportunity to let my little light shine. So one of my duties as a judge was welcoming new Canadians to Canada. And what a joy it was to see the smiles on the faces of those individuals when they heard the words, "Now you are a Canadian citizen." And I watched many individuals burst in tears, tears of joy, no doubt. And many of them had come from war-torn countries, and now they found themselves a part of the Canadian family. I cannot help but think that a breakfast prayer meeting such as this gives us all the opportunity to pray for our community and our country, and for the men and women who choose to represent us at all three levels of government. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when God honors you with a position of influence, do not take it for granted. Acknowledge the reality of your influence. So while serving in this capacity, I had the opportunity to travel across Canada, and it was not unusual for requests to come into the department for me to be a guest speaker at various events. I felt confident that in my own life, in my own little way, I was making a difference. And so I continued to pray and ask God to use me to His glory. And some of you will recall the song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Great has God's faithfulness been to me. My husband and children gave me the support, although both Melanie and Michael, they didn't especially like when I was a guest speaker at their school, because they found it very embarrassing. Folks, it's not easy to lose a best friend, especially when your best friend is your husband, your confidant, the father of your children. But that was my experience after 24 years of marriage. Yes, David went home to be with the Lord, the height of my career and his own career at the young age of 49. I spent the last 3 months of his life at home with him, and we were able to recount the good times we shared, the challenges we had, but most of all, and through it all, we learned to trust in Jesus. We learned to trust in God. And my church community, family and friends, offered great support when David went to be with the Lord. But a terrible void was left in my life and that of our children. But I was assured that our Heavenly Father was committed to our care, provision and protection. We knew that God was our refuge and strength, as the psalmist reminds us. He also desires fellowship, communion, and the opportunity to share His heart and purpose for us. And we are also told in Psalms that He will be a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. So once again, I had to rest my whole weight on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearing ceremonies and community building filled my days and weekends, along with offering support to my two children. There were many storms, but my daily prayer was, "Lord, allow me to live by faith and not by fear, and allow me to confess Your promises daily." Months and years went by, and through God's help, I continued in service. Just about the time I chose to retire, the government of Jamaica announced that I would be honored in a national ceremony with the Order of Distinction for services rendered to the Jamaican diaspora in Canada. But during that same week, when I was getting ready to travel, I got the news which put the fear of God in me even more. I had a choice to make. Do I go on this trip or do I get medical attention? So after consulting my dear family physician, I flew to Jamaica and accepted the award. On my return 1 week later, I met again with my trusted family physician, who by this time had all my results in and who now put the ball squarely in my court. So with this guidance, I chose a surgeon who had a deep abiding faith. And he too had experienced medical challenges, major medical challenges. Yes, friends, sometimes life throws us circumstances that are not rehearsals. Things are set in motion, waiting for your turn. And if you miss your turn or your cue, it could trigger severe consequences. I waited until I found myself at peace before I shared this devastating news with my family. And I've been praying to God that I be calm and collected when I met with them. And God answered my prayer. From then on, I focused even more on the peace of God, my personal salvation, and my relationship with Him. I prayed for His forgiveness, and I asked for strength, protection, and guidance for the children, and off I went to the hospital. Psalm 46, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Be still and know that I am God. Those were the thoughts I had as I entered the hospital. And the surgery was successful, but complications developed days after. It was intended that I'd be out of the hospital within 4 days. I spent the next 3 weeks in hospital, with the last two being in the intensive care unit. Towards the end of my time in the ICU, I realized that I was dying, really, really dying. But it was not my wish to die in a hospital bed, rather in the comfort of my own bedroom, where I could see the trees, so I started to organize my departure from the ICU. And most of you know here, you don't leave from ICU and go home. You go back to the ward and then you go home. But I had to be my own advocate. I pleaded my case. And I think my friend Millie is here somewhere in the audience. Millie is my dear friend. And she spent most of her days at the hospital. At times, she was not even allowed to see me. Even when her car was towed away, she kept coming. So I asked Millie to look into my confidential files for my funeral plan. And Millie just about fell apart. But I assured her that it was okay. Don't worry. You know, I'm sure everybody knows about Bob Marley. And I'm not going to sing it for you. But Bob Marley used to sing this song, "Don't worry about a thing. Everything is going to be all right." So I completed all the plans. Of course, Millie, after she cried, she did it as I asked. And she brought my files to me. And with the cooperation of the doctors, I came home and continued to work on my funeral plans. I came home knowing that I had put my entire life in the hands of God. And the Gillards are here today too. And they can attest to the fact that they'd never seen me so calm and even withdrawn. I was not enjoying Larry's barbecue, nor the fact that they were at my home entertaining my friends while I'm upstairs in bed. And Diana, and some of you know Diana, Diana likes to talk, and Diana got quiet. She could not believe that I was really that ill. And I might really be going to another land. So friends and family gathered around for 3 weeks. And then one morning when I woke, it dawned on me that I was not dying after all. It was just a wake-up call. And you know, sometimes God leads us through circumstances, He closes or open doors. And He may speak through others and sometimes guide us on the inside through intuition, a sense of direction and a feeling of peace or a lack of peace. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my hope that as I continue in the journey of prayer, that I will continue to sense His leading more and more and become more confident in His guidance. Fanny G. Crosby used Psalm 32:8 in this hymn. All the way, my Savior leads last he says, can I doubt his tender mercies, which through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here my faith named to dwell, for I know, whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. Hopes I'm still an unfinished product, so I will continue to rest my whole weight on the Almighty. And like the people of the South Seas, you know, my friends, there's a candle in every soul. So hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light the world, because we are a family whose hearts are blazing. Let's raise our candles and light up the skies. And like the people of the South Seas, place your whole weight on the Lord Jesus.